of shadows could seem to feed my fears.
As children go back to school, let us remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Also, God calls every parent and grandparent to take an active role in training their children and grandchildren, not just in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but also in the fear of the Lord. This year, help your kids with their studies and encourage them to live boldly for God.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This past week, a Fort Pierce City Council member was arrested for sending lewd and lascivious pictures to a minor girl. And this really comes from someone who professed to be a Christian, someone who was a Republican, someone who professed to be conservative, professed to be pro-life. And we can't know his heart and we can't judge what is inside of him, but we do know that he fell short of the standard that God sets. And there's really a lot that we could talk about from the Bible on this topic. And today I'm going to just introduce some of the concepts really that really will actually look at what the Bible has to say about this, what the Bible has to say about sin, what the Bible has to say about how you can actually could potentially fall into sin, what the Bible says about how you can avoid sin and how you can avoid temptation. What types of things should happen to someone who does sin? So we're going to look at the Word of God, and really this subject is so big, there's no way that we could possibly cover, probably won't even be able to cover all of the topics today. But at some point in the future, maybe next week, maybe another week, we'll actually take this topic up again and talk about it further. One of the things that when we look at this, really, and when you look at really not just this type of sin, but you think about so many people that are involved in things and really they kind of seem to think that they're going to get away with it, that there's not going to be any consequences. They really aren't thinking logically through what they're doing, whether it's committing adultery, whether it's fornication, whether it's prostitution or being involved in prostitution, paying for a prostitute, whether you're looking at stealing something. Really, there's one principle that is in the Bible that is clear, and that is your sin will find you out. And this is from Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and your sin will find you out. And be sure your sin will find you out. And this concept really is something that is true, and certainly in the case of the Fort Pierce council member, you might say, well, he wasn't thinking with his head, and then the joke is, well, maybe he was thinking with his other head, allowing hormones to take part. But I mean, you really, one of the things that needs to happen, we all need to do this, we need to think about not just the sin, and in fact we need to not meditate on the sin and contemplate on the sin, and really we'll talk about that a little bit more in later on. But when we contemplate on the sin, then really we are committing sin in our own hearts, and really that leads to a physical act of sin as well if we do so long enough rather than meditating on the Word of God. But also we need to think about the consequences of our actions. There are consequences for every action. And really, from someone who knows God, really there's also a consequence of your conscience. You have a conscience. Even people who aren't Christians have a conscience. Certainly, there are some of those who have seared their conscience by living wickedly. But there are young people today that are living in fornication, and they know that it is wrong, whether they've read the Bible or not, whether they have studied God's word, whether they've been told that it is wrong or not. Deep down, they know it is wrong. Their conscience tells them that what they are doing is wrong. It is sin. And so your sin will find you out, and you need to look at the consequences of your sin, whatever it is that you're thinking about. We talked last week about those who gather together and commit crime for financial gain. Well, you know, that may be, they may be able to achieve a certain short-term period of financial gain, but long-term, that's not a solution. It's not a pattern for actual prosperity. What it's a pattern for in our modern-day culture is to be locked up and to be put into jail. Under a biblical justice system, it would be to make double, anywhere from 2 to 5 to maybe even 7-fold restitution for that theft. And by the way, it teaches actually personal responsibility, and it restores the person who lost something that was stolen. But we need to realize that your sin will find you out. You need to look at the consequences. Read the Bible, look through the law of God, see what God has to say about certain sins and what the consequence should be. And then even though society and even though our modern day judicial system is not going to impose that upon you, impose that upon yourself and just really think, hey, this isn't worth it. It's not worth it to go down this road. I'm going to experience consequences for this. And when we look at what should happen in something like this, first of all, we have justice. Justice should happen. And God is a God of justice. And there's coming a day where every single person will give an account for their lives. We're going to stand before the judgment, and we're going to stand before God and give an account for our lives. And every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has fallen short. Every one of us is guilty and worthy of death and hell. And only those who have had their sins covered with the blood of Jesus Christ will actually go into heaven. But even here on this earth, God has appointed for justice to happen. And he has raised up what he calls and what the Bible calls civil magistrates, who are in Romans chapter 13. We won't read this full passage, but verses 1 through 5, we'll just reference it here. The Bible says that the civil magistrates are God's ministers to reward the righteous and to punish the wicked. The apostle warns people to actually stand up and do what is right, to actually honor God and follow his commandments and his precepts. And the Bible here says in Romans chapter 13 that the civil magistrate does not bear the sword in vain. And that's in reference to not just punishment, but it's also in reference to execution. And there are certain crimes in the Bible where you should actually see execution. And incest are some of those sins. Adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, child sacrifice, murder, rape, stealing someone, actually putting someone into slavery. That's a death penalty offense. Kidnapping. And so you look at these penalties, and God set these penalties so high, not because he wants to just punish us and see people suffer, but he put these penalties so high to protect the innocent, to protect little boys and little girls, to protect husbands and wives, to protect you and me in our lives. And really, the death penalty is designed to be a deterrent to keep people from doing certain actions and committing certain actions. One of the things that we'll see, maybe today, maybe another day, but we'll see that in the New Testament, when the New Testament was being written, there was a lot of wickedness that was happening, and it was actually legal. Child sacrifice, temple prostitution. Actually, many of the prostitutes, both male and female, were actually slaves, and they were forced to commit vile acts with the people that were coming to these pagan temples to worship pagan deities. So sometimes there's not a justice system that is actually based on the Word of God. And you don't always have the civil magistrates doing what they should do. But they are appointed by God to reward the righteous and to punish the wicked. This is the predominant function of government, is to reward the righteous and to punish the wicked. And the actual criminal prosecution is a big part of that. You also see a principle in the Bible of accountability. And you see this in Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus says, if your brother has sinned, go to him and confront him. This is something that a lot of people don't do. A lot of people don't want to do this. And in fact, really on both sides of the spectrum, if you have been sinned, a lot of times people are hesitant to confront the person who has sinned against them. And also, and certainly in some cases, it can be traumatic to confront that person. Certainly in the case of a young child that has been abused or molested or had what we saw with this city council member happen, you know, that can be very traumatic. But a lot of times we don't want to confront those who have sinned against us. But quite often people do go and tell other people. And really, that's not the biblical standard. Certainly, there are certain cases where you do need to go to the authorities, and you do need to again, have the civil magistrates do their role of bringing justice to the situation. But we also need to practice in the church accountability. We need to be willing and to love someone enough to confront them of their sin and to call them unto repentance and to realize that they have an opportunity. God is not just a God of justice. He's also a God of grace. He's also a God of mercy. And we need to allow God to minister and to do a work so that we can actually see his kingdom come, and we can actually see a situation where people can come back to him. They were living, as I mentioned earlier, in a culture that was very much a pagan culture. The people who were Christians in the New Testament, many of them had been involved in those temple sacrifices. These sacrifices not only involved prostitution with slaves, they also involved child sacrifice, and they involved human sacrifice. And you see this type of thing happening. The people that were coming to Christ had committed sins that really, under a biblical judicial system, should have resulted in the death penalty, yet that was not the justice system of the day. Those people were still given an opportunity to be set free from that sin, to be actually set free from that. And so we look here in Matthew chapter 18, you see if the person doesn't repent, that you then bring two or three witnesses. If they don't repent, then you bring the matter before the entire church, and you have really what's called church discipline. And if the person doesn't repent, still the person is excommunicated, is kicked out of the church, is treated as a heathen. And really, that is a message for them to repent and to turn back to God. But you see, you actually have a method of bringing someone back to repentance. And again, this doesn't mean that justice still shouldn't happen. It doesn't mean that that's in the justice really is in the civil magistrate's hand. You also see really a principle of mercy. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, we read, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And so when we look at this, really, in the words in the Bible are, we're reading it in English, but this was actually written in Greek. And the word being overtaken, when it talks about being overtaken in a trespass, this is really kind of an accidental sin. Very likely what happened and what we're talking about wasn't necessarily an accidental sin, but was something that was premeditated, something that really resulted maybe even in thinking about that type of sin, and even maybe even being addicted to pornography. I don't know. I'm not saying that this is the case. But pornography is rampant in our culture today. It's readily available. And in fact, you have to discipline yourself to turn away from it. And because even many of the advertisements, even though they're not technically in today's standards pornographic, if you were to go back 50 years, they would be considered pornographic. And these are actually being used in advertisements today. But you see here that we are supposed to actually try to restore someone who has sinned, and especially if they've sinned unintentionally. One thing that I really want to drive home here is, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And you may say, well, you know, I would never commit that type of a sin. Well, I can tell you this, if that's your attitude, then watch out, because the Bible says that pride goes before destruction. That's Proverbs 16, verse 18, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you get to where you think that you can't sin, that you could not possibly fall in a certain way, watch out, because you're not going to be taking precautions. You're not going to be guarding yourself. You're not going to be meditating on the Word of God. You're going to be lax. And at that point, you are susceptible to falling. Every single one of us is susceptible to sin. Certainly, people are tempted in different ways. Some people are tempted. Some men are tempted with other men. Some men are tempted with other women. Some men are tempted with little boys or little girls. Some women are tempted with women or with men or with boys or girls. And we have to realize how we're wired, what types of temptation are going to come our way, and we need to actually be cautious that we don't also fall into that type of sin, that we humble ourselves, that we pray, that we ask God to give us strength, and that we practice the methods that God has laid out in His Word to actually resist temptation. And when we look at how temptation actually happens, one of the things you see in James chapter 1, the Bible talks about verses 12 through 15. James talks about, we're not tempted by God, but we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own evil desires. When we actually think upon that, when we meditate upon that sin, instead of meditating on God's word, when we meditate on the sin, when sin has conceived, it gives forth birth to sin. And the end of sin is death. And so we have this process of actually meditating upon the sin, and there's a conception process there. Everyone that's an adult really is aware of the conception process and how this happens. And we realize that there is a conception process of sin. Someone doesn't just go out one day and commit adultery. Someone doesn't just go out one day and commit fornication. Someone doesn't just go out one day and commit homosexuality. Someone doesn't go out one day and actually molest a young person. This happens when people are meditating upon the sin instead of meditating upon the Word of God. Thinking about the sin, pondering upon the sin, not thinking about the consequences of the sin, but thinking about the passing pleasures of sin. Joseph, when he was in Pharaoh's house, could have stayed there and enjoyed the passing pleasures of sin, but yet he chose to go out with the Israelites and suffer with them rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. If you're focusing on the pleasures of sin and you're thinking about this, and particularly if you are focusing on pornography is dangerous. Many of those who have been convicted of rape, Ted Bundy even talked about this, about how the role that pornography played in his life and how he was addicted to pornography, and that meditating upon sin drove him to take advantage of women and rape them and kill them. And we need to, instead of thinking about the sin, practice what God said and to think about the Word of God. We see this throughout the Bible, many places in the Bible. How can a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, by taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And I won't read the entire passage today because I'm just trying to give a overview of this principle. And really what we're talking about is hiding the word of God in our heart, meditating upon his word instead of meditating upon the sin. You see, Jesus, when he was tempted, did he think about the sin? Did he meditate upon the sin? Did he think about how good that bread would have tasted if he commanded the rock to be made bread? Certainly his fast was over. He could have eaten at that point. But the devil was tempting him to use the powers that God had given him for his own pleasure. And Jesus, instead of thinking about the passing pleasures of sin, quoted the Word of God how did he quote the Word of God? Because it was hidden in his heart. He had hidden the Word of God in his heart. He had memorized Scripture. And we need to be memorizing Scripture and meditating upon it and thinking about it. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him in John chapter 8, 31, verses 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. This is how we become free from sin. We also need to look for and seek discretion and allow discretion to preserve us. We talked last week about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. And really, with wisdom actually imparts discretion and understanding. And in Proverbs chapter 2, the Bible tells us that discretion will preserve us. How would discretion preserve us? And it would preserve, by the way, in Proverbs 2, the Bible talks about Solomon trains his son, that discretion would preserve him from the violent men that would try to entice his son to be involved in violence, maybe in a gang or involved in some sort of crime, beating someone up or stealing someone, using force to actually take their possessions. He also says that this will protect you. Discretion will protect you from the evil woman. And by the way, it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to use discretion. Men need to be aware that there are women who are evil, who would want to draw them away and catch them in fornication, in adultery. There are even men that would draw them away and catch them in homosexuality. Women likewise need to be aware that there are women that would draw them away. There are men that would draw them away. Also, children need to be aware that not every person that they are conversing with has their best interest in mind, and some of those people are there trying to prey upon them. I remember being a young child and going to the park one day and with my brother, and we were playing tennis, and we didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't really know how to play tennis, but we had some tennis rackets and some tennis balls, and there was a nice man that helped us out and taught us how to play tennis, and we came home and told our dad about this, and he warned us, you need to watch out, because not everyone that's nice to children has their best interest in heart. Certainly, he might have just wanted to help us out, but he also might have wanted to befriend us so that he can lead us into a sexual relationship. So children need to learn discretion. Parents also need to be watching your children. And really, I want to encourage you, even if you're a parent, wait to give them a cell phone. Don't give them a cell phone. There are even studies that talk about that the earlier you give a child a cell phone, the more of a chance that there is that that child will actually commit suicide. And there's a number of reasons for this. Some of it is bullying. Some of it is that other people, when people post online, they're typically posting good things. They're not posting bad things. And people look at that and they say, well, my life doesn't quite match up to that. But if they do have a cell phone, monitor it. Monitor what is happening. There are so many kids today that are falling prey to being involved with texting or chatting with someone that's an adult. Sometimes they don't even know that this person is an adult, and it can be dangerous, and you want to actually protect them and preserve them from this. And really, we're not going to be able to cover any more today, but at some point in the future, maybe next week, maybe in the future, we'll cover some more of this topic. But we really need to look at the Word of God and get into the Word of God and apply biblical principles to our lives. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, when the earth rejoices for the Lord, and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for His law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes, and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
As children go back to school, let us remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Also, God calls every parent and grandparent to take an active role in training their children and grandchildren, not just in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but also in the fear of the Lord. This year, help your kids with their studies and encourage them to live boldly for God.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linnegan, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Hi, I'm Apostle Joyce Cranfield. Please join me every Saturday at 8:45 a.m. for the Rose of Sharon Radio Ministry to hear a message from the Word of God.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila